T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 FM. WFAN.
9:03 Sunday night. We've got 2 hours down and two more to go. Sweeney Murdy, Ed Coleman here, and we will get back to your calls in just a little bit. 877-337-6666. If you missed any of our conversation with Mike Stanton, former Yankees and Mets reliever, head to the radio.com app and hit rewind. Or check back later on the WFAN.com homepage. It'll be posted up there a little bit later. Time now to shift gears. We go from it's an hour of specialists on this show, Ed. We go from the late inning relief pitcher to the designated hitter. Not just any designated hitter, the first ever designated hitter. Ron Bloomberg. Ronnie, it's Sweeney, Ed Coleman here in New York. How you doing?
Sweeney, Ed, how y'all doing, big guys? It's great to be able to talk to y'all, and I know this is going to be fun, and whatever you need, let's do it.
That's kind of what you said when they said, hey, do you want a DH, right? You didn't really know what they were talking about, did you?
I had no idea, to be honest with you. Yeah, I thought it was basically a designated pinch hitter, and I never, ever thought that the DH was going to last. Now look at it now. It's like 48 years old, and now both leagues are it's universal now, and I screwed up the game of baseball, but now it's great to be able to talk about it.
You know, Ron, we had a great idea. We thought, anyway, that with the first games coming up to restart this season, the Yankees and Washington are going to play, obviously. But the Giants and the Dodgers out on the West Coast, two teams that have never had the DH, we thought you ought to throw out the first ball.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, but who's going to throw it? How far do you think I could throw now? I can't even see home plate now. There's no way. You know what? The next time I go back to Old Timers Day, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to use one of those hover rounds. And what I'm going to be the first guy ever in the game of baseball is going to be able to get up to bat, swing, hit the ball, and take one of those hover rounds and run to first base with.
Hey, Ronnie, Eddie and I were kicking this around before. I got to ask you about this. I can't imagine what a thrill it was in July 1973 to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated with your boy Bobby Mercer, and you're in Yankee pinstripes, and it's about how the Yankees are back. Have you ever actually read the article? It's
no.
Not very kind to you. You haven't read it?
No. No. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to be honest with you now. I wrote a book, The Designated Hebrew, okay?
Yeah.
My author and I, we put the book together, and to this day, I never read it.
Wow. And
No, I never read it. And, you know, I mean, I never look at articles. I know what it is. You know, I mean, being the DH, they're going to tell me that I got clank for hands. Only thing I could do is hit. I can't do anything else. And I didn't want to hear any of that stuff. But people don't realize that, you know, I was a first baseman. The only reason why I was a DH because I've had a hamstring pull down in spring training in 73, right 4 days before we were supposed to break camp. Then all of a sudden, you know, I mean, I became the DH. And I had no idea what the DH was. Everybody thought it was a big joke. And let me tell you, the funny part, I had to hit for Mel Stottlemyre. And Mel Stottlemyre was a great hitting pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a great hitting pitcher. And when they had me, and he had no idea I was going to be DH, and he thought he was going to hit. Nobody had any idea about the DH. We had it in spring training. We didn't think it was going to last. And, you know, I go up to Fenway Park. All of a sudden, you know, I get in the dugout. It's DH. And Mel Stottlemyre looked at me and said, how in the world, you know, I mean, I hit, you know, whatever, and you're going to hit for me. And I looked at him. I said, you know, I didn't know what else to say. But he was a great hitting pitcher. But nowadays, I mean, these pitchers nowadays, I mean, you might as well just call in your 0-for-4. And that's what it is, except for maybe 3-4 pitchers nowadays.
Mm-hmm. You know, your first game, your first at-bat, you get an RBI right away. Off a guy that I grew up in Boston, Ronnie, so I used to watch El Tiante all the time and used to love the windup, the delivery all over the place in that. But was it a walk with the bases loaded? Was that the first at-bat?
Walk with the bases loaded. Let me tell you something. Yeah. To this day, I see Tiante all the time. We do a lot of stuff together. We go, we're down at Yankee Fantasy Camp. He's down at he's mostly down to the Red Sox Fantasy Camp, and then he'll come over to the Yankee Fantasy Camp. And, I mean, let me tell you something. He was probably one of the finest pitchers I have ever faced. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
And, with the stuff that he had, and unfortunately, he had some miserable teams when he was with the Indians. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, He had great stuff. I mean, him and Sam McDowell with the Indians, that's incredible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you go into Boston, and, you know, with that lineup and that pitching staff with Bill Lee and Tiant and all those guys, I mean, you know, they had a pretty good team. And like I said before, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and Ronnie, you only got the designation as the first designated hitter because Tiant was wild in that first inning, right? He walked a couple of guys. He had bases loaded. Obviously, he loaded the bases to get to you. If he had a 1-2-3 inning, then somebody else might have played beat
absolutely
the clock and gotten you out of that history book.
Absolutely. And Orlando Cepeda, they really penciled him in to be the first DH, to be honest with you. I think he was hitting third with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And I got up. Nettles, I think, got a base hit in front of me, and I got up with the bases loaded, and I walked. Okay. And I always talk to Orlando. I always tell him, you know, I got in the Hall of Fame the back door. He got in the Hall of Fame the front door. But he had too many accolades. You know, hey, you got to give it to a nice Jewish Southern guy to be in the Hall of Fame. So that's where I was. So it's fun to go up to Cooperstown. I go up there almost every year, and I see my bat up there, and it's fun to see, and they can never take it away from me.
You know, that 73 season, Roddy, too. You have the analytic guys would love you these days. You know, high on base percentage, good average, good hitting with runners in scoring position. You hit .350 with runners in scoring position. That's a pretty good year. Pretty good year.
Well, thank you very much, Ed. You know, I mean, I played baseball. You know, I mean, the game of baseball when we played, it's a lot different than the game it is now, of course. And, you know, I mean, I had some poor teams when I was with the Yankees, when CBS owned the team. When George came in, he started buying some players and started moving players around quite a bit. And he sat us down the day that he came in and took over the team. He said, whatever y'all need, I'm going to bring a winner back to the Yankees and back to the fans in New York. And that's what he did. And to this day, I always tell people that George was great to me. The Steinbrenners were great to me. And George was like a second father to me. But you got to give him 120%. If you give him 119%, let me tell you something. He'll destroy you. He'll crucify you. Believe me. And he's not afraid to do that. But you know you had to play hard for him. And, you know, I mean, it was fun. It was, you know, I mean, Sweeney would know. I mean, you know, we had a team with a bunch of characters on the team. And that's in 77. And that's when they called the Yankees the Bronx Zoo. Because people don't realize we had a fight every single day in the clubhouse. Whenever we came into the clubhouse, you know, the training tables basically was turned over. Every locker was all messed up. And, you know, we have a fight. We have a scrimmage in there. It's like, you know, playing rugby football. And, you know, when we got out on the field, we knew how to win. We knew how to beat guys. But it was but unfortunately, in 77, and people don't realize this, that I was on the disabled list mostly. Well,
all
the whole year,
right?
Basically.
Yeah.
I was on disabled list.
You tore up your knee, right?
Isn't that, tore up my knee. I had a shoulder operation a couple of years before that, and I went out to Centralia Hospital with Dr. Job and Dr. Curlin cut on me, and it was very difficult. And people don't realize, once you get injured, I mean, it's very difficult. It's really hard to come back. We did not have the modern technology like the guys have nowadays. They got the personal training. They got all the equipment down at the stadium. I mean, when we had a problem, they shipped us to Lenox Hill Hospital, threw us up in the – we went the back door through the ER. The doctor saw us. They looked at your knee. Yeah, you need a knee operation. Well, how long would that take? Or maybe probably about a year and a half. Nowadays, it's like 2 months. You know, there was no scoping back then. It was very difficult to get back. I mean, it's – and, you know, when you get back, you know, I mean, it's not easy. I mean, it really, I mean, I had a hard time. I had injuries at the injuries at the injuries. People can never say that I didn't give 120%. I ran through walls that destroyed my knee. I hit a home run in Milwaukee that destroyed my shoulder. And my body just all started falling apart, unfortunately.
You know, it's interesting, Ron. You know, you look at your 73 season, great numbers there. You had a good season in 74, too. And I wonder, you know, when you look back there, as the Yankee teams were getting better at that time, you know, you got hurt in 75, and it kind of piled up on you. You missed most of 76, 77 we talked about. So, you know, as they were getting better, it had to be frustrating for you in that sense, because you had put up numbers. You'd obviously shown you could play on that level, but the injuries were curtailing you from, you know, being part of what turned out to be some pretty good teams.
Yeah, we did. It was killing me. I mean, it was, you know, every time, you know, I mean, I got injured. Unfortunately, when I got injured, the team was doing well. And, you know, then you sit out for 2 weeks, and then you try to come back, and then you injure something else. And you pull a hamstring. And I mean, it was just like a domino effect. It was so hard. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, I love to play baseball. The fans up in New York were the best. I love them to this day. I just started getting on. Sweeney saw me. I just got onto Facebook. I've never done this
and
before.
Twitter. You're all over social media now.
Oh, yeah. You know, let me tell you something. I'd rather hit a fastball and do all this stuff with this computer business. And let me –
I friended you the other day.
I still got my flip phone. I still got my rotary phone. I still use my calculator. Hey, this is what I do. You know, and now, you know, I was doing nothing. You know, I mean, y'all had it bad up there at the first now we got it bad down in Georgia.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything. So I said to myself, what am I going to do? You know, like this. And a real good friend of mine, Lenny Cosberg, okay, we became very, very good friends a few years ago. And he's very, very good with the computers. And he told me how to do this and this and this and this. And he's helped me an awful lot. And it's been great. And I started doing this. And I started reaching out to fans again. And I started, you know, I mean, it's been great. You know, people, you know, put up pictures about you. They saw you do this and this and this. So right now I got close to almost about 11,000 people on my computer stuff.
That's
and
great.
It's incredible. Every time I put stuff on, I mean, it's great. I mean,
you become a social media animal out there. Yeah, there you go.
No,
that's great.
You know, let me tell you something. I'm afraid I'm going to get injured by turning on my computer. If I do that, I have to go in the DL for that. But just to be able, let me tell you, just to be able to talk to these people. And, you know, they have, even when I was injured, they were great to me. And always, you know, you got to give back to the fans. The fans are the ones that basically are the heroes of this game. You know, I lived my fantasy. I did something what I wanted to do. I lived the dream. I put the Yankee pinstripes on. You know, Mickey Mantle was my favorite. I got to know him real well. Got to know Joe DiMaggio. Got to meet all these people. It was wonderful. I lived my fantasy. And now, after my baseball years are over with, you know, I get to meet my fans. The fans that I, you know, used to boo me and cheer me. It's great. But now I get to talk to them and have fun with these people. And they're wonderful. And my fan book fans are the best people. The Twitter fans are great. All my friends are great. I mean, it's wonderful. I'm having a great time.
So, Ronnie, one of the things you tweeted out today was an article. I guess it was you were the 1-1 overall, first round, first pick by the Yankees in 67. So the article you posted today, is that from the day you came to sign and you worked out with the Yankees at the stadium? Is that what that was?
I did, yes. Yes. In 1967, I was 17 years old. Got drafted number one in the country in 67. At that time, I'm never going to forget, had my mom and dad. We flew up on a Piedmont Airlines from Atlanta, Georgia. My parents had not enough money to take me on an airplane before, so they flew us up into New York. They picked us up in a taxi cab, a big taxi cab. And it was I'm never going to forget, the taxi cab driver, his name was Bernstein. And I looked at my mom and dad. I said, "Hey, he's one of us," you know, like that. And I said, "This is wonderful." And my parents always said, "There's 8 million Jews up there," and you know, I mean, there's never been any Jewish ball players. Yankees never had a Jewish ball player before. So I signed up there, went up, got my first interview. My first interview was with Walter Cronkite. Was up in the press box with Bill White, Frank Messer, and Phil Rizzuto. It was about 3,000 people at the stadium. There was nobody there. But that night, it was great. We went to a place, and I had no idea what it was. It was a place called Toot Shores. And they took me to Toot Shores, and right next to us, they happened to seat us right next, and my mother looked at my father and said, "You know who that is? Who is it?" It was Frank Sinatra.
Oh, wow.
And I never even heard of him before.
What?
You know,
really?
I'm so used to the Temptations and the Four Tops. And the, you know, those are the people that I'm used to.
And, oh, wow.
Your mom probably keeled over.
Oh, yeah.
Sinatra.
Oh, yeah. He came over to us. He shook our hands. He was wonderful to us.
Wow.
And then, I mean, it was great. And then they took us, wait a second. And then they took us to Fiddler on the Roof.
We
sat on the first row. And it was Zero Mostel. Remember Zero Mostel?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sure.
It was Zero Mostel. And we went back in the back. And he met us. And he, you know, he was so happy.
That's a pretty good night, Ron. That's a pretty
good
night.
Wow, it was a great night. I was hitting.
Mickey Mantle, Frank Sinatra, and Zero Mostel all in one night?
That's pretty good.
Plus, you know, I should have held out for some more money. They would have given me an extra $5 back then, you know. But it was great. Let me tell you something. I had so much fun. And when I come up to New York now, it's unbelievable. It's great.
To Eddie's point earlier, Ronnie, it's like you are probably more suited to today's game. If you take, I mean, the injuries obviously were a big part of what we're talking about, how your career was 8 years long. But, you know, in 73, you're hitting .400 in late June as a part-time player. Ralph Houk is batting you, you know, strictly against right-handers because you had struggled against lefties. But, and, you know, your career numbers, if you had stayed healthy, this, do you know, your career numbers against right-handed pitching, 304 average, 367 on base, and a .500 slug. And this is in about 1,300 plate appearances. If you had stayed healthy, you could have had a very long career as a lefty bat off the bench, designated hitter, part-time player, whatever it was. You crushed right-handed pitching.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. When they drafted me number one, okay, I could hit left-handed pitchers. I always did. And then for some reason, I got to AAA. Because I hit left-handers when I was in A-ball and double-A. When I went up triple-A to Syracuse, unfortunately, I had a manager that loved to play older guys. And, you know, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from anybody. I've never said a word to anybody. And they said, you know, he couldn't hit left-handers. Then I go up to the big leagues, and Ralph Houk sat me down, and he said, we're going to play you against right-handers and some left-handers. Okay. So he never, you know, when I was hitting the ball well, I had a long game. I think I had like a 23-game hitting streak. And then all the riders that year when I was hitting the ball, crushing the ball, all the riders came down and said, why don't you play this guy against left-handers? Well, because he's young and we don't want to do this and we don't want to do that and whatever. But I never said a word. You know, and let me tell you something. You know, I wasn't one of these guys. In our days, we couldn't say play me or trade me because if they get rid of you, you're gone. If they send you down to the minor leagues, you'd be like Wally Pipp. There's no way in the world you're going to come out back and play. And, you know, I mean, it was when you had a one-year contract, you know, I mean, we don't have any leverage. We don't have a 4 or 5 year deal where we could be on the disabled list for 3 years and still make ourselves $25 million. Mm-hmm. You know, in 73, Gabe Paul, who's the GM, gave me a $500 raise. The next year in 74, they took my $500 back. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, they didn't even talk about a raise to me. So, I mean, it was one of these things. Hey, we were controlled by the owners at that particular time. And that's when Marvin Miller came down with Donald Fehr. And that's why we had the free agency. And look at them now. I mean, they could buy ball teams, and they do. They buy a ball team. Mm-hmm. And every time I go back to Yankee Stadium, always go down to the accounting department and see if I still got any mill money. They gave us like – it was
$7 still holding it for
money.
You?
Yeah, they do.
Hopefully, there's interest on that too, yeah. Ronnie.
Absolutely.
The colorful Ron Bloomberg is with us, and I'm not bragging, but how about this, Sweeney? You know, we've heard of three-letter guys. Ron Bloomberg was a four-letter guy in high school: baseball, basketball, football, and track. But this, I have to ask you this. All right, you made your mark in baseball, but you received a ton of football scholarship offers, but you received a ton and a half of basketball offers. And John Wooden, is that right? John Wooden actually came out to meet you?
Yeah, I signed in 1967, I signed a letter of intent. The letter of intent means that once you sign that contract with the college,
right.
you cannot go to any other team.
Yeah.
Nowadays,
yeah.
the recruits go from team to team to team to team to team recruiting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I played basketball, I would have to go on to play basketball at UCLA.
Wow.
If the Yankees did not draft me, and then, or if I wanted to play football, I would have played football probably at Alabama. Okay.
Oh, wow.
But I was more
for Bear Bryant.
Yeah, Bear Bryant, yes.
Holy
and
cow.
That was a time when Joe Namath and Richard Todd and Johnny Musso and all those guys are down there.
Oh, man.
Well,
that's
and, the timing of that basketball, you would have played with
DeMar and Henry Bibby. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holy
oh my God.
Cow.
That's amazing.
I never
Ron.
Knew that about you, Ron.
Yeah, that's.
Well, yeah, I don't like to brag, but, you know, let me tell you something.
That's why
whenever
we were doing
I
it for you.
To, whenever I used to, it's funny, whenever I used to take a recruiting trip, the guy that I used to meet in all the colleges was Spencer Haywood. Remember Spencer?
Mm, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Spencer
Great
Haywood.
Player. Great player.
And, yeah, he came from Pershing High School, and Dick Vitale was his coach. Okay. And he finally went to the University of Detroit, and then I signed with the Yankees. If I didn't get drafted by the Yankees, number one, and unfortunately, Ed, I'm going to tell you, the Mets had the second. No, I'm sorry. The Mets did not have the second. The Cubs had the second
Cubs,
round.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Cubs did. But if I got drafted by any other team other than the Yankees, I would have played another sport. I wanted, you know, let me tell you something. It's something when you put that Yankee pinstripe on. When you go to Yankee Stadium and when you're 17 years old and you look at the monuments and you look at, you know, unfortunately, when I got there, it was 3,000 people. It's like when they're going to play baseball this year, it's going to be nobody in the stands.
Yeah.
And when you hit a foul ball, you can hear it ricocheting against the seats and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's how it was, okay? Yeah. But to be able to do that, and Sweeney would tell you, you know, I mean, when, you know, I remember when Sweeney was first starting off and we met each other and stuff. And you know, when you go to Yankee Stadium, it's something about the stadium that is so, you know, I mean, it's like a, it's one of the monuments of the world. And I mean, it's just, you know, it was the field that Ruth built and Mantle built. And then, you know, where, you know, now it's the field where Jeter's built. But nothing like the old Yankee Stadium. I don't care what anybody says. You know, I mean, it's the greatest feeling in the world to put, when you're 17 years old, and put the Yankee pinstripes on and go out there and play.
What was your best sport, Ron? If you just flat out, just your ability to play, what was your best sport?
I would say, you know, okay, altogether, I would say basketball. I got drafted by the ABA in 73, okay? Wow. But I had a contract with the Yankees then. And in my contract, I could not play any other sport, okay? Mm-hmm. So I would say, gosh, you know, the one I loved the best was baseball. I think, I can tell you what, you know, people always ask me, I just played. Back then, nowadays, you know, everybody is just one sport. Everybody just one sport.
Right.
But I had to play all sports. And I was very lucky in my life. You know, I mean, here's a Jewish kid. Now, all of a sudden, you know, a Jewish kid should be a doctor or a lawyer, okay? And I was an athlete. And my parents were never an athlete. How did I become? I don't know. I just played. It just came easy to me. I don't know.
I wish it was that easy for the rest of us, you know?
Yeah, I know.
No. It's easy for y'all. Sweetie, hey, I saw you when you first started, big guy. Hey, Ed. Oh, yeah. Somebody told me to tell you hello, Ed. Is Art Chamsky told me to tell you hello.
Hey, I got to ask you this because I didn't know this, that you attended Fairleigh Dickinson, so you have to know the esteemed Jay Horowitz. You must know Jay.
Oh,
right?
Sure. Yeah, I know Jay pretty well. You know, I mean, he finally retired. He started doing the alumni stuff, right?
Yeah,
right. He's writing books now. No,
that's right.
Jay's big time.
He's writing books now.
He's writing books now. Yeah.
No, you know, so he got all the money from you know, the guys up there. So yeah. I'm glad for him. Jay's a wonderful guy.
He's a great man.
We're talking with Ron Bloomberg. Ron, I was telling Eddie about this SI article, and I was reading some of the clips from it. I'm going, well, this is not very they put you on the cover, but it's not very flattering. They said
You got to tell me, because I swear on my life I never read. What did they say?
Well, here's one of them.
Wait a second. How many years? After 45 years, okay. So tell me, what did they say?
Here's the first one. They said Bloomberg was dropped from one little league team because his fielding was so bad. Next day, a different name, he went to another tryout, made the team, and finished the season with a .989 batting average.
Well, you know, when you're a young kid, and you know, I mean, you can say anything you want to after you've been retired for so many years. I mean, it's, you know.
Here's the other one. Can I hit you with this other one? Because this is kind of – I mean, you'll probably – I hope you'll remember this play.
Is this the one with Gene Michaels?
I don't know. It doesn't mention his name on here. The triple play, starts. It says, Bloomberg is known as a prodigious eater capable of consuming a couple of ordinary meals at a sitting or 1 5-pound roast. He is also a first baseman of unusual capacities, most of them negative. Once this year, all he had to do to complete a triple play was catch a ball at first base. He juggled the throw. First time I ever had a chance to even see a triple play, and I blew it, he said.
Yeah, wait a second. Let me tell you what happened real quick. And nobody, hey, I'm sticking up for me. Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
We're playing Minnesota. Okay. There was a man on first and second. Somebody hit a line drive to Dick. Dick catches the ball. Touch second. Throw it to me, right? Now, Harmon Killebrew is not a tall guy, but he's really stocky, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I had to reach over him to catch the ball. And I had the ball, and it hit, and it clanked out.
Oh.
Stick comes up to me, even to, you know, may he rest in peace. He's always got on me. Every time I saw him, he's, you screwed up the only triple play I ever had. And nobody, and you know what? Let me tell you something. We could talk about it. I didn't really have bad hands. But, you know, I moved from Wrightsville, where it was a lot easier for me than to play first base. First base is not easy. When you have Greg Nettles and when you have Stick and you have Willie Randolph, Greg Nettles will throw a slider to you, and his ball moves. Stick will he doesn't throw hard, but his ball just moves just a little bit. And Willie throws a sinker. And then you have people on the mound. Then you have Catfish, and then you have Sparky over there. And, you know, and they throw a 92, 93-mile-an-hour fastballs over to first base. You know, that's not easy to do when you're not used to that. And, hey, they tried other guys, you know, up in the big leagues. Didn't they try Andujar? I mean, it's not easy to play first base.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Bloomberg.
What do you, Sweeney, what are you laughing at?
This is just so much fun talking to you, Ronnie. I love this. I told Eddie, I said, we got to have you on us. And this is why. Because this is just fun radio.
I got to know this, Ronnie, okay? Your nickname is Boomer, okay? We got Boomer Esiason. We have ESPN's Chris Berman, who's Boomer. Were you the first Boomer? You're the first DH. Were you the first Boomer?
You can ask my Facebook people. Let me tell you how I got that. Okay, I want to tell you I got it.
Okay.
Bill Rizzuto got the name for me. I hit a home run off of Nolan. It went up at the old stadium, went up about really over three quarters of the way up to right field, up in the upper deck.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, he called me Boomer. Okay. And now there's
Holy
a Boomer.
God.
There's David Wells.
Yeah.
There's Esiason. You know, I'm older than these guys.
Well, what about George Scott? Wasn't Boomer Scott?
Yeah, George Scott.
He was there.
But I think, you know, where do they he started in Boston, didn't he?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He started in Boston, yeah. But I was the first Boomer in New York. And, you know, I mean, I'll probably wind up seeing David Wells someplace, and somebody would tell him that, you know, I was the first Boomer, and he'll say something to me. But Boomer, David is a great guy. He's a real good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I met Ronnie at Yankee Fantasy Camps years ago. I used to work some of those fantasy camps in the off season, and David Wells has done those, so you guys hang out together. But Ronnie's one of the most popular guys at these camps.
I can't understand why.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what? Let me tell you something. It's very simple in life to be nice to people. Mm. It's very simple. You know, that's my philosophy. You know, I want people to know me as a good ball player, not the greatest. You know, I mean, I did not fulfill my potential. I got injured, but I tried. I got in the bigs for many, many years, made tons of thousands and thousands of fans, and they're great to me. But I just want to be known as this guy is a nice man. This guy will say hello to me, and this guy will sign my autograph. But, you know, back then, our autographs wasn't even worth a dollar. You know, I mean, but now, you know, I mean, it's totally changed. You know, but, hey, I still have a great time. You know, I still work out every single day. I try to do as much as I possibly can. You know, I'm just watching the world change in front of me now. You know, I missed my camp.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be up to, you know, I do a lot of stuff with the Steinbrenners up at the stadium. And I got a camp at the New Jersey Y camp. It's the largest Jewish camp. It's 6,000 kids. And this is the first year in 18 years. I miss that. And it's a 100-year-old camp. And, I mean, it's a very difficult year for everybody. And, you know, I feel so sorry for 42 million people that's out of work. And it's so much problems out there now. But I just hope one day that, you know, we could wake up and everything is gone, and 2000 and you know, 20 is gone, and mm-hmm. we could just remember the good old days, not the bad days.
Yeah, I think a lot of us want to see 2020 in the rearview mirror.
Ronnie? Not fun. You know, I mean, yeah. You're watching all this stuff. Sweeney, how are the Yankees looking?
Well, I think they're going to be pretty good. I mean, I think we always knew that that they were built for a good season this year. 60 games with Gerrit Cole leading the rotation. I think you feel pretty good about that. They have to watch out for Tanaka, who got hit in the head a couple weeks ago.
Oh, and, yeah, I saw that.
You know, that
yeah.
concussion might – who knows what the effects of that are going to be during the course of the year. But, listen, it's a really good team, and I think we all know that. I needed to ask you something because a guy that we work with, Zach Martin – brought something to my attention that you're involved with helping him. You're working with a nonprofit group that helps people with autism find jobs, right? Is that basically
yes,
the gist
it is.
Of this?
And I just started that almost a month ago, and it's very, very dear to my heart. It's called, we create jobs for people, living with autism and all disabilities. And I mean, I work with Tiki Barber, and, we give these people with disabilities and autism new skills in the art of radio and mass media company. And, if people want to go to it and see what I do, and it's wonderful, autism and disability, helping people that are it's very, very difficult. And be able to give to these kids and make them happy, and they could do things. These kids could work, because at my camp in Milford, Pennsylvania, I have a lot of disability kids, and they're wonderful people. They have so much ability, but they just need help. And basically, the website, I want people to go to this. It's Indiegogo, IndieGogo.com, and you put in New HD Media in the search button. Look at it. Look what we do. And, I'm very fond of that. I'm going to help them as much as I possibly can. I know Tiki is going to help them. We're going to have some more athletes. And, we're going to make this thing. We're going to help everybody that has disabilities and, help these kids do what they want to do.
That's good. Indiegogo.com. Is that what it is, Ronnie?
Yes, Indiegogo.com. It's you put in New HD Media in the search button, look at it, and you got to look at it because it's wonderful what we do, and it's going to be a great situation for people with disabilities.
That sums it up pretty well. Ronnie, you said you wanted to be known as a nice man and a good guy. I think that pretty much says it all right there. So, listen, it's a ball talking to you. Thanks for the time tonight. We appreciate it. It's good to be Facebook friends with you too, as a matter of fact, and we'll see you as the social media animal that you are the last couple of weeks.
Hey, Sweeney, Ed, I really appreciate that, and I just want to thank all the fans that are on my Facebook page, and I love them to death. Thank you very much. Please represent this. What we do with disabilities and autism, and always stay a Yankee fan, baseball fan, and with Ed, be a Met fan also.
There you go.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Ronnie,
appreciate
thanks
it.
A lot. Sorry, it was
great talking to
you. We'll talk soon.
Love y'all. Be safe now. Bye-bye,
you
y'all.
You got it. Ron Bloomberg.
That's you can follow him on Twitter also, at RonBloomberg1, and I just noticed this, or else I would have asked him about it. He's got a second book. His first book is called DH, Designated Hebrew. He's got a book soon coming out called The Captain and Me, On and Off the Field with Thurman Munson. So we'll have to look for that.
Think about this, okay? He ends up signing with the Yankees. And it's understandable. You're number one pick or whatever, and you sign, and they want you, whatever. But John Wooden is after him in basketball.
Yes.
And he would have played football at Alabama.
Bear Bryant. Bear Bryant, John Wooden.
How good
Holy
a high school
cow.
Athlete was this guy? That's amazing. That's
phenomenal.
Amazing. That's amazing.
I can't imagine how many – you know, coaches were knocking down the door and making all his pilgrimages down to Georgia to see this kid who was the four sports star. And if he, you know, I'm like, honestly, that's when you said 67 UCLA, I mean, yeah. that's Lou Alcindor, Mike Warren.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that was the start of their, yeah. Start of the dynasty. Ooh. That he was putting things together. That's astounding. I had no idea.
Well, I have spent some time with him at Yankee Fantasy Camp around the saloon, as you would say. And it's like that for hours on end. He's phenomenal to talk to, and I'm glad we got a chance to talk to him. There was actually more stuff about just universal DH, but he was such a good storyteller. I didn't even get to half of the stuff I wanted to talk
about.
Well,
and the great thing about Ronnie, you know, he said, like, I want to be known as a nice man, but you know, yeah, we were the ones who brought that. He's not bragging on himself. That's why I said, you know, I'll brag for you. It's John Wooden, Bear Bryant. I mean, come on. Jeez.
That's really good company right there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.